The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for StockEd. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers Podcast. Today we're catching up with Far East Gold. The code is FEG, last traded at 42 cents for a market cap of about $90 million. Now, Far East Gold, only listed on March 22, raised $11.73 million at 20 cents a share. And happy to report for the subscribers to the float that it's more than double. We don't see that too often with IPOs. Now, Far East Gold's focus is Indonesia, and it also has some balancing projects in Queensland, all with a gold copper focus. Now, to bring us up to speed on this company, which has been active in Indonesia for many years and has a big presence in the country, we have Paul Walker, the co-founder and chairman of the company. G'day, Paul. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Barry. Thank you very much for having me.
Paul, given the company is new to the ASX, it might be best, I guess, to start off with perhaps tell us a bit about yourself, the genesis of the company and some of the key guys you have on the board with you.
Brilliant. Thanks, Barry. So my background, I've been involved in resource and infrastructure projects all over the world for the last 30 years. I've managed some big projects, probably the biggest annual budget I've had is about $500 million with about 1,500 staff. I've been playing in the Indonesian space since about 2009. When myself and one of the other co-founders of Far East Gold, we started a mining company up there, and we took a coal mine into operation and acquired some exploration assets, some gold, some copper, manganese, and coal, and we ended up selling out of that. I came back to Australia. My partner stayed up in Indonesia and kept looking for opportunities, and we ended up co-founding Far East Gold. So Shane Manier, my CEO, he was one of the co-founders, and we brought in as a co-founder Justin Werner, who's the managing director of Nickel Mines and previously the managing director of Auger Resources, which has morphed into Alpha HPA. Their stock code's A4N. So we co-founded along with another Indonesian fellow the company, and we've decided to focus on copper and gold because we saw there was a huge opportunity for taking advantage of a lot of underexplored projects in Indonesia. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do a deal with A4N to acquire their Wonogiri project to start the whole thing off. So Justin, formerly the managing director of Auger, which became A4N, he'd been involved in the Wonogiri project for about 10 years. They were sitting with a great little project with a JORC resource of about 1 million ounces of gold and 190 million pounds of copper, and it was doing nothing. Their partner, who owned 55% of the project, Rajawali Corporation, they were focusing on another one of their gold mines, which was producing about 200,000 ounces of gold a year. And so this great little project was sitting there about to lapse with its permit. So we came along and said, can we take it off your hands in exchange for some scrip on IPO? And they said yes. And that was the genesis of it. And on the back of that, we went and acquired the rights to two more projects, the Trenggalek project in Indonesia, which is what we like about that. It displays similar characteristics to a gold mine just up the road from it called Tujuh Bukit. And Tujuh Bukit's run by Merdeka, and it has a resource of 30 million ounces of gold and 19 billion pounds of copper. And so there's very similar geophysical signatures with respect to the volcanic cap and epithermal and porphyry systems that we're seeing in Trenggalek to the Tujuh Bukit project. And then we acquired the rights to Woyla, which in our opinion is probably the best undrilled project in Southeast Asia. It had previously been explored by Barrick and Newcrest. They weren't able to progress into drilling because of forestry designation issues. We acquired the rights to the project and then downgraded about 7,600 hectares of forestry area to enable drilling to progress for the first time in the life of the project. So that's how it started, and then COVID kicked in. Mm-hmm. and we were concerned about the ability to manage these projects in Indonesia, and so an opportunity came to acquire some projects in Queensland, and we thought They were great little projects in their own right. They weren't as advanced as the three Indonesian projects. The three Indonesian projects have probably had about $40 million spent on them previously before we came along, whereas the Australian projects only had about $2.5 million spent on them. So completely different levels of advancement, but they were still good projects with drilling done, and they represented epithermal gold, silver in two of the projects, and copper gold porphyry in one of the other projects. And we thought that gave us a really interesting strategic balance to our portfolio that provided both the jurisdictional and operational hedge for any risks associated with doing work in Indonesia.
You touched on it there. Just before jumping into the projects themselves, what is your take or your read on Indonesia as a place for foreign companies to invest in the mining space? It does ebb and flow there, it seems, over the years. But an example from you guys just recently is this agreement you have with the Geological Agency of the Indonesian government to do a co-fund or co-invest in an IP survey at the Woyle project. So things are changing there, are they?
A couple of good examples about the way the Indonesian government's trying to approach and encourage exploration is in 2020, they passed a series of omnibus laws which simplified the approval process for mining. Mm-hmm. It took it out of the hands of regional, provincial and central government for approval and centralised a lot of the approvals just back to the central government, which is probably one of the reasons why we were able to progress the forestry issue for the first time in 20 years on Woyle. Mm. Another example of the way in which the mining department is encouraging foreign direct investment like ours, we had a virtual bell ringing ceremony for the listing of Far East Gold on the 22nd of March, and the Director General of the Mines Department from Indonesia was present and actually gave a speech at our bell ringing ceremony, welcoming us to Indonesia to participate in the mining sector up there. So we're seeing a lot of active support from the relevant mining departments and central and provincial governments. Like, for example, as recently as January, we received a signed letter of formal endorsement for taking the Woyle project to the next level of advanced exploration by the governor of Aceh. So it's we're getting a lot of support in Indonesia.
I think the standard inquiry Australian investors have about Indonesian project is you have to have an Indonesian partner. It seems that your ownership is 100% or near enough to 100% at the asset level, whereas your Indonesian partnership has come through in vendor considerations for picking up the projects. So you've got that. It's a slightly different mix, but...
So we did that strategically, Barry, because obviously some of the challenges that Australian junior explorers have had in the past in doing business in Indonesia is they've diluted their ownership at a project level, mm-hmm. and then they can struggle with progressing the projects based upon any relationship issues they have with their partner. We understand it's important to have Indonesian partners, and we've brought them up at the group level, so they can see the benefit of the portfolio of projects that we have progressing. And we have control at the project level of how we progress them. So it's we made a strategic decision to do that, and so we've brought on several of our biggest shareholders are very well connected, very high net worth individuals from Indonesia who help with those sorts of relationship issues that we know we need to deal with.
Okay, all right, let's jump into the projects. I'm chatting around town. People seem to be excited about Woyle, there we go. A low sulfidation epithermal quartz vein system. Very extensive sampling of its return bonanza grades, as well as sulfide mineralization containing copper and zinc and lead. What are you up to there? What's the forward plan?
So we mobilized, IP survey crews were mobilized a couple of weeks ago into one of the prospects. So there are four distinct epithermal prospects that we are focusing on. There are also three really interesting porphyry magnetic anomalies, which we're looking at those now, but they're not our immediate focus. They're a next evolution of the project. So our focus is primarily on the low sulfidation epithermal high grade opportunities that we're seeing in the Woyle project. We're doing IP survey work for the first time in the history of the project on the Anak Perak prospect. We'll have that finished towards the end of this month. And then the next plan is to look to mobilize drills up to site.
Yeah, okay. Now, this was the one that's said to be analogous to Newcrest's former Goswang mine over there in the Halmahera. So bonanza-type gold grades there. I think it had a 6 million ounce resource and used to produce its gold at around 20 grams a tonne. So is that from your point of view, is that a valid comparison, the Goswang style?
We think it's displaying similar characteristics to Goswang. In terms of the coliform banding of the quartz veins that we're seeing, the channel sampling, trench sampling, and assay results are coming back with similar sorts of characteristics that you would expect to see for a Gingaroo type deposit such as Goswang. So we're really excited by it. I mean, some of the grades that we're getting out of the sampling and the assay results, they're astonishing. You know, we saw the grades that Newcrest and Barrick had returned in their sampling, and then in September we went and did further sampling ourselves after we resolved the forestry issue, and we had some grades come back at 53 grams per ton at the highest, and we obviously could imagine we're pretty excited. And then we went and did more sampling in both December and March, and the grades keep coming back at outstanding levels. You know, they're maxing out at 119 grams per ton for gold and nearly 1200 grams per ton for silver. So it's pretty exciting stuff for us.
Yeah. So just to be sure, and investors always get a bit impatient with these things. When is the drilling program likely to start then?
There's a couple of options we have for drilling, Barry. We can drill now to the north part of the Anak Perak prospect, so we don't need any further permits for that. But it's the area that we have the least amount of early stage exploration on, and that's one of the things the IP work will show us. Where we can drill in other parts of the project, we need a borrow use permit to be granted by the Indonesian government. We're in the process of getting that. We'll make a decision whether, on the back of this IP work, whether we drill where we can drill immediately, or we wait and go where we are really confident that the grades are looking good. So in terms of timeframe, I would hope within the next few months we are certainly up there drilling and talking about the assay results from the drill holes that we sink.
Right, okay. Let's move to Trenggalek, copper gold porphyry and epithermal project. I see the Indonesian Mines Department's got it down as a top three priority greenfield gold project.
Yes, it does.
What's the story there, and why would they be saying that?
There's a couple of reasons for that. Obviously, the previous work that's been done on that site, they have access to. There's about 18,000 meters of drilling done on that. It actually has an Indonesian level feasibility study prepared on it. It's currently permitted to go into development and production of a mine. We don't intend to do that at this stage. We intend to focus on doing exploration in some of the porphyry areas that weren't explored previously. Again, the reason why they weren't explored by Anglo, even though they wanted to, was there was a forestry issue, which has now been resolved. Okay. So it's actually quite advanced. You know, it's permitted for a mine. Also in an area where the Indonesian government wants to encourage economic activity. And I see this as actually a really good booster for economic activity in this particular Trenggalek region. So they see this as important both because of its potentiality in terms of scale, size. They see the similarities also to other projects on the Sunda Magmatic Arc, such as Tujuh Bukit. But there's also an opportunity for the community in terms of economic development by having the mine proceed there. So we're getting support from that perspective.
Right. Now, you mentioned the Indonesian level scoping study into possible mine development. We obviously can't talk about that nowadays. But was that based on the epithermal mineralisation?
That was just based on the epithermal. That was where the majority of the drilling was done.
Right, okay. So let's have a look now at the Wonogiri project, where you've mentioned almost a million ounce gold resource there, 53% measured and indicated, and 190 million pounds of copper. Now, some people would be going, hang on, you've got the resource. Why aren't you pushing ahead with the development there?
So It's currently an exploration permit. So we need to upgrade that to an operation and production permit. And the process requires us to get a series of technical approvals, air, water, waste, emission approvals, and then get an overarching environmental and social approval. And we're in that process right now. Once we've got that, and our focus on in 2022 is getting that approval, upgrading the project to an operation and production permit. In the background, obviously, you know, we're doing geotechnical studies to figure out how our wastewater and tailings solution will look like. We're doing MET studies to make sure our flow sheets are optimized. Where there was a scoping study done back in 2016 by Auger. Now we've just engaged a consultant to review and update that scoping study. That scoping study, when it was done, gold was $1,300 an ounce and copper was $5,500 a ton. So we're pretty confident that the results of this scoping study will, you know, once we've reviewed them and looked at the inputs and adopted them ourselves, when we release that, it'll be pretty exciting what that little mine can produce for us.
Yeah. And again, I assume that's based on the Auger Resources work. That was based on the epithermal mineralization.
No, this is a sub-outcropping porphyry deposit. Oh, right. So this is actually a really exciting little porphyry deposit. So the drilling that was previously done went down to about 480 meters, and the deepest holes, you know, the last 37 meters hit copper and gold, and it remains open at depth. So we think there's an opportunity once we do some infill and extension drilling to relook at the resource estimate. Mm-hmm. But even with the current resource estimate and the economics associated with it that we've seen previously, which we're now about to validate, it's got all the makings of a nice little mine.
Yeah, okay. With porphyries tend to go down to the bowels of the earth, so I presume that you've got porphyry potential remains at depth?
That's exactly right, yep.
Okay. All right, we better have a look at the Australian operations. You've got two in the Drummond Basin region, Hill 212 and Bluegrass. What can you tell us about those?
So they adjoin each other, and they're nearby. Hill 212 is nearby, and Bluegrass Creek directly adjoins GBM Resources' Mount Coolin project.
Okay.
We're excited by those on the basis of what we've seen and the work we've done. Previous drilling was done by Medusa on that site, and a lot of earlier work was done by, you know, BHP, Dominion, Battle Mountain across those. And we've done additional geophysics and ASTA survey work, and we can see the epithermal vein system extending from Hill 212 up into Bluegrass Creek is the way we're interpreting the data that we've prepared. So we see them as basically the one project. Now, we've got an earn-in agreement where we've acquired 90% of the interest in those tenements up front. And we have obviously a commitment to do exploration over the next few years. We are in the process of, as we speak, engaging some civils contractors to go up and clear the tracks and drill pads for Hill 212. Mm-hmm. So we're currently planning the drill program, July, August to kick off in Hill 212, subject to the availability of the drilling contractors, which we're negotiating with them at the moment, their timelines. So Hill 212, we think it's exciting for us because, yeah, it's displaying some good high grade results so far. Certainly not the Wheeler high grade, but, you know, six grams per ton assay results for gold. But it's also displaying very similar characteristics to some of the results that we're seeing from GBM Resources' Yandan project, and they're delivering some stellar epithermal results. You know, 200 meters at 2 grams a ton gold, quite remarkable. And that's the depth of that epithermal vein system, which is only about 30 kilometers to the west of Hill 212, is very similar to the characteristics we're seeing in Hill 212's vein system with the work we've done.
Okay, all right, so. Interesting epithermal projects you've got there. Now, in the Connors Arc region, you've got a copper gold porphyry project, Mount Clark West.
Mount Clark West, yes. We actually have crews on site today up there doing additional groundwork prior to the we're having a deep ground penetration MIMDAS survey, an IP survey called a MIMDAS happening later this month. in Mount Clark West. So it's had only about 8 line kilometres of geophysics done and 94 drill holes put into it. And the interpretation of those results suggests that we've clipped, or the previous exploration has clipped, the edge of a copper-gold molybdenum porphyry system. So our plan is to go out there and do some more detailed geophysics work. Again, interpret that to see if the results we've seen so far suggest that there is a deep porphyry system. And then the plan is later this year to drop a number of scout holes at depth into what we hope will be the centre of the porphyry system.
Yeah, okay. Well, Paul, interesting mix of projects there, large-scale potential, and the benefit of having $40 million spent by others. There's some big names in the mining industry over the years, but as we know, big mining companies come and go in exploration projects, so you've picked up the benefit of that. So let's bring it all together for investors and say, what should they be looking out for, say, in the next 6 months or so?
In the next 6 months, obviously, our focus of most of our spend will be on Woyla. We'll be focusing on firming up the gold grades, the silver grades, and some of the results from the drilling. So our plan was always to spend about half of our exploration budget on Woyla. We see our best opportunity for value accretion is getting drills into Woyla and then showing with more clarity what the mineralization is up there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the background, we'll be progressing the Queensland assets because they are good, solid projects in their own right, and focusing on getting Trenggalek ready for the next stage of exploration in the porphyry areas and progressing the Armdale and environmental approvals in Wonogiri. So got a lot of projects on. We've got a good team. We've got a team of about 50 up in Indonesia who are supporting both the Indonesian projects and the Australian projects. But in terms of actual on-the-ground exploration, some exploration in the Australian assets and primarily exploration in the near term, next 6 months in Woyla.
Okay, so good strong news flow from some very exciting projects, the names of which I think will become embedded as the years go by, particularly some of those ones in Indonesia, and who knows what those Australian ones will come up with. So with that, Paul, thanks for your time today. Best of luck with it all. We'll be watching with interest.
Thanks, Barry.